Well, good morning again, everybody. There are times in the life of a church when it's important to divert from the, usual and address the unusual. So today, I wanted to take a very careful opportunity and a very specific opportunity, and in just a moment, we'll address the Holy Spirit for a few seconds. But I feel like it's important from this position as pastor of this church and also as a minister of the gospel, but also as a father, a grandfather, and a husband, to address a couple of things that are happening that probably don't please most of us. The latest of which, there has been a strong motive, I think, to dilute the morals, the standards, and the character and integrity of the United States of America as we know it, and through the transgender bathroom issue. I am not worried about my words being copied. I understand that anything you say in the pulpit, we put all of this stuff online. So I realize that if somebody wants to get real radical and charge us or charge me or come after me about my comments, I understand that. I'm not worried about that. Because I don't think anything that I'm going to say is something that, number one, you don't agree with, but also I think it's important for us to address some things when they come up. So I want to be real careful to tell you that my motive today isn't to trash an administration or isn't apparent to conflict with anybody. Also, the conflict is already there. But I do feel like it's important for you to know my heart, and my heart is consistent with what most of us have been experiencing for a long period of time. There's an erosion of who we are as a nation. I'm not going to put Christian nation in there. It's an erosion of who we are as Christians automatically. But I feel like it's important to point out a couple of things. This issue of transgender bathrooms, and especially, number one, when it first came out as an issue over on the East Coast, there was a state, North Carolina, that was opposing an ordinance that came out in one of their cities. From there, it became a national issue, and then from there, it became a public high school issue. And I think that's where most of us got really alarmed and upset. So when that happens, we need to know that we are not idle without tools and without motive as the way God directs us. But I do want to point out a couple of things that are pretty obvious if you just look under the surface, and I do mean under the surface. It's real easy to battle a lot of these things on the titles, the transgender thing, that I identify today as a female, so therefore I would like to use a female bathroom. We understand the safety issues that most of us are alarmed over. We understand that that's a total diversion from where we've been as a nation. It's being linked with civil rights instead of common sense. You see, I believe everybody, when they go to the restroom, whether they use it in this facility or in a school or in a business or at a store, that there's an expectation of privacy. That's what they're all about. Now it's become an expectation of permission. There's thrown out with the side of this, I think, is the issue of safety and honoring what is common sense. Well, I think most of us who've dealt with any type of thing that comes out of politics or the government, a lot of common sense is usually thrown to the wayside. So I just want to make one point. I want to help. We do this with the help of Dr. Richard Dobbins years ago, who pointed out, he said, you know, the digression, the way that Satan tries to do things is that he usually doesn't come at you directly. It's always with a smokescreen. That's why we call him the angel of light. He's always disguising his deceptive means through something that is more of a smokescreen than anything else. He said this, he said, what happens with a nation, with a generation or so, things become confusing because of the following issue. He said, you know, we have adopted not what's right and wrong because it's in the book, because it's black and white, but based on feelings. And he said, if we can get something to change and become more common than something else, even if it's only verbally, because I'll digress just for a second and ask you, I don't have the numbers, but it would be appalling to understand what percentage of the United States American population really has an issue with a transgender bathroom, really has an issue with the right to have a gay marriage. All of these things, the percentages are really low. let's bump it up to 10%. Are we really going to take 10% and let it rule for the 90%? That's literally what's happening. But it becomes common through conversation or through action. And whatever becomes common, he said, becomes normal. And that's the thing where we need to understand, and our antennas need to start kind of going up, and the red lights and the caution flags need to start coming out, that we begin to understand that there's a greater agenda here. It's the erosion of the not only the common sense, but not only the standards and the morals of the nation, but the standards and morals of a Christian nation in which we were built on. It goes far beyond the Constitution. It goes to the heart of what Satan wants to do. Now, with that, what becomes common through conversation or through action now is the new normal. And the new normal becomes the new standard. And if it becomes the standard, then it is now unofficially the right thing versus the wrong thing. And in that context, I just wanted to share with you my heart just for a second. There may not be a whole lot that we are asked to do. There may not be a vote circumstance that you are willing to take place. And this has nothing to do with the presidential election that will happen in November. That vote is a whole different vote that I'm talking about. We haven't been asked as a nation to vote on whether we think that's appropriate or inappropriate. But we do have a course of action, and it's called prayer. It's called calling unto our Lord and our God, Savior Jesus Christ. It's being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, who we'll talk about just for a second today. It's about understanding that as a Christian, we have a responsibility. And there's not a whole lot we can do, but there are some things that we can do. We can be vigilant in our spirit. We can be aware in our minds. We can pay attention to what's going on. And we can't blame it on the East Coast or the West Coast. We must participate. We live isolated in the middle of the nation, and there's a lot of comfort that we have by being in Oklahoma that we're not faced with what happens in San Francisco, New York, or Washington. But we can't go to sleep, and we can't lay back and let this thing go away by itself, because it's not going away. We are headed toward a deadline. And only God knows when that deadline is. Only God knows the day that he will look and he will say, go get them, son. Bring my kids home. He's the only one that knows that. But we see the signs. I never dreamed in my lifetime, and I know that this is the story you've heard and you've heard and you've heard that we've never seen in our time, the changes. But oh my goodness, the changes. This thing is escalating. And we do have a course, or I should say a course of action to take place in this, and it's through prayer. You are not left without something to do. But if you do not use your weapon of prayer, your desire to see God do something dynamic in your life, you are unfortunately gone AWOL. We need you in this fight. We need you to be a part of what we do and just holding on to the morals and the characteristics and the integrity of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ, not just as you live, but taking the fight, if you will, to the others through prayer. This thing is not a done deal. I have a granddaughter. Every Thursday is our date day, and we go somewhere. Whenever she goes to the restroom, it doesn't matter. I will either go into the men's restroom and make sure that it's clear and then allow her to go in, because, by the way, she says, Poppy, I need my privacy. So I don't assist her with any of those things anymore. I just make sure that it's safe, and I will guard that door in the men's bathroom. She doesn't like to do it, but she understands why. If we're at somewhere else and she wants to go to the girls' bathroom, I'll make sure that it's clear. I will stand there at the door with the door wide open with me holding it open. And if anybody comes, I'll tell them, so listen, my granddaughter's in there using the restroom. I'm sorry, but I'm going to stay right here until she's done. I can do little things like that, but I'm going to tell you what, that's just my little world. That's my little person. But God wants us to do much, much more than that. I just want to tell you, we're headed toward a circumstance that's only going to escalate. You can blame it on one person if you want to. You can blame it on an administration if you want to. It's only going to escalate because Satan is really playing for keeps. And he wants to overturn everything. He wants to turn us into the bad guys. Well, good luck, Satan. I read the book. Dude, you don't win. Amen? Amen. So, we only have a few minutes today. Oh, did you see me close my Bible? Oh, don't get too excited. Don't get too excited. But I just want to take just a few seconds to tell you where we want to go in the next 4 weeks. In the next 4 weeks, we want to preach a series on the Holy Spirit. Now, last week was Pentecost Sunday. I was in Alabama with my mom, Pentecost Sunday is a date on the calendar. What we want to talk about is the Holy Spirit in your heart. We don't want to address the church calendar only. We want this to be something that makes the Holy Spirit real to you. So let me just ask you to embrace a couple of things, because I hope that you'll go home today in the brief moments I'm going to share with you with more questions than you have answers. Now, that's not because I want you to be confused, but I want you to ask questions of yourself. Am I really giving the Holy Spirit latitude in my life? Have I really embraced the Holy Spirit? Is He really in here? Is He doing something in my life? Do I feel the Holy Spirit? Greater than that, am I talking to the Holy Spirit? You see, sometimes we have to remind ourselves the Holy Spirit isn't an it. It's a who. It's not an inanimate object. It's a person. Now listen, we don't talk to books. If you talk to books, you're crazy. We don't talk to trees. We talk to people. We have relationships with people. And God tells us that we can have a wonderful relationship with the third person of the Trinity, and His name is the Holy Spirit. We all identify with God the Father. We see Him in our mind as a human being, because God said, let us make them in our own image. And we have attributes. The prophets and many other people have given attributes, human attributes to God, the hand of God, the heart of God, the mind of God, the mind of Christ. We see Jesus. We know through this book that He walked the earth. He's a real man. He did real things. He really healed these people. There's evidence. We see the tomb that He left, all of these things. But the Holy Spirit, how do you put your hands on the Holy Spirit? He's not something you can fathom in your mind in that context, but He's real, and He's a person, and He wants to do a dynamic work in your life. I just want to share my story with you real quick, and then we're going to be dismissed today. I got saved in 1973, and I went a whole year being saved. And it was a great transition. It was a wonderful, wonderful thing that happened to me. God did some powerful things. And I never backslid to the point that I went back to what I did, but I felt like I always had this inconsistent life. There was no real power in my life. There was no real victory. The Bible tells us that we're more than conquerors. I felt like more than defeated. And listen, I wasn't doing horrible things. I never went back to my old life, but there's just this power that wasn't there. And I found myself going up and down, highs and lows, that roller coaster ride, if you will. And then I met these people. They were Pentecostals. I was warned against these people. Yeah, some of you are those people. Yeah, and some of you remember those people from your past. And the sad thing is, as we get further into this, you know, it's the things you've experienced and the things that God is burning deep into your heart that has a little bit of a conflict. But I was warned against these people. Literally, the superintendent of Sunday school at the church that I was attending told us, said, if you go down the street to that church, you might as well take the Bible in one hand and a snake in the other. And I said, what in the world is he talking about? I'd never read Mark 15 where it talks about that they'll take up serpents. I didn't know that people handle snakes. I thought he was nuts. But the problem is at that very church, we had what they used to call the General Assembly. Do you remember that? Used to have the General Assembly. Everybody would come in, the youth department, the kids. They would gather in one place, they'd sing a couple of songs, take up an offering, then you'd go to your Sunday school class. Well, Dennis Holman, who was a wide receiver from the University of Alabama, was coming. We were all excited. This football hero was coming, and he couldn't make it. We were so bummed. And then this guy named Denny Duron showed up. And Denny Duron was just another guy that was on the football team. See, Birmingham had this World Football League. It's a kind of semi-pro type thing, and Denny Duron showed up, you know, and we thought, oh, we're so bummed that Dennis Holman wasn't here. But Denny Duron shows up, and this guy is just full of fire. He's excited. He plays the guitar. He smiles. He grins. He looks like an athlete. He was our starting quarterback. And this guy was full of life. I thought, what's wrong with this guy? I'd gone to some FCA events. I'd heard guys literally even give their testimony, giving their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ at the NFL, and they would use the word H and D in their testimony. I'm going, huh? It didn't even make sense to me. You could cuss in your testimony. But there was no life. There wasn't real excitement. There were just, you know, these stoic guys that went to and played professional sports. This guy was just bubbling all over the place. So I had to know more. I had to know more about this. I'm driving down the road the next week, and I see on the Assembly of God Church marquee, Denny Duron, Thursday night. I'm all about it. So I went to hear Denny Duron speak on Thursday night at this thing called Youthquake. There were so many awesome things happening in this church. They moved their Wednesday night service to Thursday night just to accommodate the community. So I went, I listened to them, and everybody, it was awesome. people did things like you do. You raised your hands, and they sang loud, and they got excited. And I thought, this was really crazy compared to what I'd experienced. In the Catholic Church, you can't even make noise when you kneel, much less anything else, you know. And in the Baptist Church, nobody prayed out loud, but this guy just really got crazy. And then he started talking about tongues, and I went, what? He started talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues. I go, what is he talking about? I'd been saved a whole year, and I'd never read Acts. I never read 1 Corinthians. I didn't know there was anything about this Holy Spirit thing. So, man, now I'm really, really hooked. I mean, there was about eight of us there. We went and we cornered Denny after the service. We said, what are you talking about? He said, I tell you what, guys, if you really want to know, he said, why don't you come over to my apartment? I'm going, what? This professional athlete invite us over to his apartment? Am I in heaven? Peach me. Goodness gracious. So the night that we got to go, or I should say they got to go, everybody got to go but me. I couldn't go. They went all over there. Guess what? Those idiots sitting and listening to everything he did, all seven of them got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, man. They come back. They're all bubbling. They're all excited. And I'm going, oh, I was so angry. I thought, it's like I'd missed the rapture or something. They were so excited. But you know what? It made me hungry. And I just wanted whatever was making Denny Duran what Denny Duran was. I met his good friend Rick Berlin, and he was even worse. We claim that Rick Berlin took a clothes hanger, crammed it in his mouth, so he had a permanent smile on his face all the time. And we really believe that with all of our heart. Because the guy was always just bubbling and grinning. I saw him driving down the street one day. He's coming this way, I'm going this way. And he's just grinning like crazy. I'm going, he does it all the time? And I just had to learn more, and I just got more and more involved in this and got to meet Rick. And guess what? At the church that I was going to, I was leading an evangelism explosion group. That means on Tuesday nights, we would meet, pray, go out, and witness to people. So I wasn't backslidden. I was involved. I was doing the deal. But there was something that was missing. After that Tuesday night, I left there, went to Rick's house, and I said, Rick, here's the deal. I said, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I said, if tongues comes with it, fine. Because I didn't know what I was talking about. But I said, but I just want, and here's the key. I said, I want the power to live the consistent Christian life for Jesus. I feel so up and down. I said, I'm not going out and sinning. I'm not getting drunk. I'm not doing irresponsible things. I said, but I just don't feel that power. I said, I want that. He goes, Dave, he said, I'm going to tell you. He said, God can give that to you. Let's pray. Okay, you know, we're praying. He said, look it on our knees. Okay, so I'm on my knees. Let's raise our hands. Okay, raise my hands, and he's praying over me and everything. And guess what? It was so awesome. Nothing happened. I said, Rick, I guess I'm just not doing it right. Am I saying the right things? He said, you're saying exactly. He looked at me straight in the face. He said, Dave, he said, listen, God heals your prayer. He hears everything you're saying. He said, I want you to leave this place. And he said, you just keep praying. God, give me the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Give me the infilling of the Holy Spirit. What I did not know is that God answered my prayer. What I was wondering was that weird thing called tongues. I thought that was supposed to kick in there somewhere. You know, and the other thing was this. I thought you were supposed to, like, levitate or crawl into a trance. I'm not sure which. Whichever came first, I was going to be happy with it, you know. Then it was weird. I mean, it was just out-of-body experience type thing. I didn't know what I was going to do. It was crazy because I didn't have any concept of what was really going on other than what I just kind of came up with. 2 weeks later, I go back to Rick's place, and there's another guy named Larry Carr. Deb, remember Larry Carr? He was praying, you know, and same thing. He showed up with the same thing. He's talking to Rick about it, and he said, hey, Dave, help me pray for Larry. I go, Larry, me? What about me, you know? And I said, okay, so we start praying with Larry. In the middle of Larry seeking to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's just crazy. Well, listen, we only have a couple of seconds, so I'm going to share this with you. Here's what I found out right after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And quite honestly, the funny thing is I look backward. It happened 2 weeks earlier. I started loving people I didn't even like. I started having power that I didn't even know it was there. I had a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ that I never had before. Before, it was just the knowledge of who Jesus was and what he had done. It was literally like taking an exam and writing down on paper what Jesus had done. That's kind of the relationship I had. But now, it was almost as if I walked with him. I talked with him, and I could hear him, I could feel him. The blood flowing through my veins was like the blood of the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what was happening, and it was so exciting. And from that day forward, it has been an incredible journey. Listen, being baptized in the Holy Spirit is not a destination. We get there because sometimes in these altars when we pray for people, they begin to speak in other tongues, and we say, you got it, you're there. That's it. You're going, what? That's not the destination. It's only the beginning of a journey. God wants that for all of us, and we're going to go there in the next several weeks, and I want you to be a part of that, if you will. Because here's the thing that I want to leave with you today. Jesus died on the cross so that we could be in a right position with Him, a position of righteousness. Do you understand this? Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins were forgiven, and now we're righteous because of Him. The Holy Spirit comes through, and He gives us the power to live consistent with this righteous position we have. And the inconsistency is when we don't feel that power and we find ourselves regressing back to the old attitudes or sometimes even the old actions. Like I said, I hope that you leave today with more questions than answers. Holy Spirit, what do you want to do in my life? And some of you may be just like me. Dave, I've heard about it. I'm not sure what to do with it. I'm not sure whether I have it or not. Will you just be prayerful over the next 4 weeks as we discover this? I promise you, this is not for the sake of a church calendar. This is for the sake of a position that God wants to put you in Christ with the assistance and the power of the Holy Spirit so that God, the Father, can overwhelm you with blessing after blessing after blessing. Because in that context, here's what happens. We move from the natural into the supernatural. We don't go from what's normal to freaky. We don't go from what's normal to weird. No, we go from the natural to the supernatural. And the truth of the matter is, if I could peel off all the layers, every one of us in here would say, I want to experience God in the supernatural. Is that not what we ask when we ask Him to heal our bodies? We're asking Him to do the supernatural. Is that not what we're asking when we ask Him to forgive our sins? Because God, I can't eradicate those sins. Only You through the supernatural can do that. And on a daily basis and in a constant walk with the God, the Father, in obedience with His Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit, there is a life yet to live for all of us. Amen? Bow your heads with me. Father, I pray that in the next few seconds, if there's someone here that have never surrendered their hearts to You, Lord, I pray that right now they will just ask. They will just invite You to come and be their Lord and Savior. Father, that You through these brief conversations, You've reminded them that there's a distance between You and them, and that You desire to be in close fellowship with them, that You want them to be received, and You want them to be forgiven, and You want them to be redeemed, so that they will live with You forever and forever and forever in heaven. But Father, there's also a great relationship with the Holy Spirit that so many times we disregard. We tend to emphasize Him. We tend to talk about Him. We talk about Him as an it. He's an inanimate object instead of a real-life person who's there to take care of us and to do things. Jesus said that He would send us to give us power, and we don't feel that power. Please, today, oh God, let us begin the prayer. Lord, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, bless me with the power that only comes from on high. Lord, make me that person who is one with You, one with Your Son, and one with the Holy Spirit. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.